Okay, I'm reading our Bible reading from John 14, 11 to 14. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Awesome. Thanks, Flynn. We'll get through it now. Hopefully, technical challenges are behind us. But again, we're in this series called Why, and we're going to move through this quickly as I'm conscious of time. But again, we're wrestling with these different why questions that many people ask as followers of Jesus. Why do I not always feel God's presence is what we looked at last week. Today, we're looking at why doesn't God answer my prayer. And finally, in the last 2 weeks, we're going to look at why do bad things happen to good people. And then why would God want to use someone like me? So we obviously have a lot of questions that come up in our lives and in our discipleship journey as followers of Jesus that we ask of God, that we wrestle with as followers of him. And so again, the idea is to unpack some of those questions. And as we continue with this series, you may have questions that arise. Again, there's that box up the back that you can write down your questions and put them in there. But hopefully we can come to them in a bit, in the latter few months of the year. But again, we're in this question this evening: why didn't God answer my prayer? And if you've prayed a lot, if you're a person of faith, you may have prayed a prayer and not seen it answered, or seemingly answered. And you've come to the place where you're asking God, why hasn't God answered my prayer? Particularly when you read passages like the one that Flynn read out to us, John 14, 13 and 14, which says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And so when you read a verse like that, you think, well, I believe God is who he said he was. I believe that God was able to answer my prayer, but it still didn't happen. What's going on here? And so we wrestle with these questions. How many people have asked that question of God before? Why didn't God answer my prayer? A few of us, yet. I myself have definitely asked that question. We're going to wrestle with that a little bit more with those on your table. If you want to go to the next slide there, Flynn. We're going to just discuss that. Does God answer every prayer? Does he answer some prayers and not others? If so, why do you think that is? We need to continually ask this question, why, to go deeper into our thoughts and also in understanding God and how he operates, what he's all about. So let's answer those questions, discuss those questions with the people on your table. Does God answer every prayer? Does he answer some prayers and not others? Have a bit of a time discussing those with one another, and then we'll come back. Again, I'm not going to be able to answer everyone's questions in their speaking to their individual life circumstances, but tonight we're going to be talking a lot about, or getting some of the answers from Scripture, from the Bible, for that is where we ought to turn to when we have questions like this. But so often we talk about answered prayers, and rightfully so, to encourage one another, but there is times where we have unanswered prayers, as we've spoken about. And one of those situations and moments for me is when I was teaching high school Scripture back in the day when I was a youth pastor. And on this particular occasion, I was teaching about the Roman centurion and the faith of the Roman centurion. And I walked away from that lesson because, as we know the story, Roman centurion came to Jesus, had a sick child, believed that Jesus could heal the sick child. And instead of saying, Jesus, come with me, he says, I believe that you can say the words right here, right now, and my child will be healed. And Jesus said, I've not seen such faith in all of Jerusalem, all of Israel. And so he says the word, Jesus heals the child, the centurion goes back to his child and sees the child is well again. It's an amazing miracle, amazing story of Jesus once again. And I walked away from this lesson after teaching, I'm thinking, well, do I not believe that as well? Do I believe that Jesus has the ability to heal the miraculous just like that? And at the time, I had a close family friend of mine, a good close friend of my dad's, who was diagnosed with motor neuron disease, a terrible, terrible disease. And it was right in the middle of all this that I felt to myself, do I believe that Jesus has the ability to heal Greg here and now? And I truly believe that. I wrestled with that in myself. I was like, I do believe in this Jesus. So I texted him. I said, I'd love to come and pray with you and pray healing over you and ask that Jesus would heal you from this. And I truly believe that he has the power to do that. Greg was a follower of Jesus. He believed. And he said, yes, of course, come pray with me. And he's more than happy to. So I went around to his house. I laid hands on him. And I prayed for him that God would heal Greg's life and heal him of this terrible, terrible disease. It was a really powerful moment with his family there, his partner in tears. And I just laid hands and believed that God would heal Greg and his life. But you know what? He didn't answer that prayer in the way I thought he would. Greg wasn't healed of motor neurone disease. He passed away not long after that, and I had to oversee the funeral. And again, as we've been talking about, this led to me wrestling with God and asking him, why is it that you didn't answer the prayer? And situations like this can impact our faith, can't they? They can be challenging towards us. They can be, we can continue to ask questions of God. Why is this the case? Why did you not answer my prayer, God? Why did we not do or see the miraculous in that moment? In that particular situation, was it because I lacked faith? Was it because I wasn't saying the right words or I wasn't saying the right prayer? What was it that didn't make God answer my prayer in that moment? But that's the reality for so many of us, that we might have prayed a similar prayer over someone. In Lydia's instance, we saw the miracle and the answer of those prayers, which was incredible testimony of what Jesus can do. But again, we sort of wrestle with the other side of things. Well, why doesn't God do it for all people? Or why doesn't God answer my prayer when I pray for those people who are unwell in my life? Or those who have passed away and I've been praying for? Why don't I get a good test, a good result in my test or my exam? Why hasn't God led me to that boyfriend or girlfriend I've been searching for so long? Or you may be praying for someone to come to know Jesus. And instead of coming closer to Jesus, they're getting further and further away from him. Again, these sort of situations come up in our life and again leaves us wrestling with that question, God, why didn't you answer my prayer? And so what I want to do again once again today is to ground all of this in Scripture, hopefully answer these questions based on what the Bible says about some of the reasons why God may not seemingly answer our prayers as we would have hoped for. So let's look at four different possible reasons to why God doesn't answer our prayer. The first one of those is maybe because you and I have a broken relationship in our lives. And you're probably asking the question, what's this got to do with prayer? This is an area that I've never really touched on or thought of before until I read this passage, Mark 11, 24 to 25. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Once again, if we're harvesting bitterness towards anyone, if we have a damaged or broken relationship in our lives, the call is clear. We need to come to a place of forgiveness towards these people. And that's sometimes a very, very hard place to come to. And this is why we need the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, continually working in our lives, transforming us so we can come to this place where we can forgive those who have sinned against us or done something wrong against us. But again, Jesus constantly spoke about this. And if we can't get to the place of forgiving someone for what they've done for us, in many ways, I believe it's like saying to God, well, I'm better than you. Yes, I know that you forgave me for what I've done and you're the God who forgives all, but I just can't come to forgive this person. Look, how does that marry up with our faith? If we believe that God has forgiven us of our sins and forgiven us of what we've done, then surely that should translate in our lives too. And don't get me wrong, it takes time, particularly when someone in our lives has really done something to hurt us or, again, sinned against us in a tremendous way. That's why we need the Spirit of God in our lives. But one of Jesus' disciples, Peter, actually asked this question of Jesus, well, why do we forgive and how often should we forgive someone? And Jesus replied with this, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. So it's not a literal thing. You don't get to number 76 and say, you've only got one more left in you. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's just saying, like, this needs to be a constant, continual aspect of our discipleship, coming to a place of forgiveness. And so, again, the question is, how does it relate to prayer and our prayer life, and God maybe not answering the prayers as we would have hoped? Well, what Jesus is saying in this passage is that ultimately our horizontal relationships with one another, they impact on our vertical relationship with God. If we are unable to come to a place of forgiveness, this impacts on our relationship with the Father. 1 John 4:30 says this: if anyone boasts, "I love God," and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is pretty clear. It's blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. Again, our horizontal relationships, they impact our vertical relationships. And I don't know to what extent or how much this is the case. I can only reflect on my experience as a father. And as we know, young children can test us at times. And when they ask for something, they may have a little argument about who wants the bigger one or who wants this or that. And particularly with the boys, they can get in a heated argument about it. And I'm less likely to give them what they want if they are fighting with one another. Those who are parents would understand the situation when you've got siblings fighting. I'm less likely to give them what they want if they're continuing to treat each other with disrespect. Because as their father, I care about how they treat each other. I care about how they relate to one another. And Scripture seems to be pretty clear on this, that our relationships matter when it comes to prayer. If we have bitterness in our life, if we've not forgiven someone, that takes power out of our prayers. God desires us to forgive those and to mend those broken relationships in that moment of prayer, and that means checking our hearts before Him. It takes humility. Why didn't God answer my prayer? Maybe there's a broken relationship in your life. Or maybe the second point is that you might have the wrong motives when it comes to coming before God in prayer. James 4:3 says, "And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure." And the perfect example of this is the Pharisees, weren't they? The Pharisees in particular, their motives were all out of whack, all out of alignment. Because when they came on the street corners, their prayers wouldn't be ultimately humble themselves before God. It was to show other people how holy they were, how great they were. Their prayers were so magnificent and so showy. Their hearts were ultimately so people would look at them and go, "Wow, how holy is that person? They must love God so much." The Pharisees are a perfect example of how motives can impact our relationship with God and our prayer lives. We need to continually check our motives. Why do I want a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a partner? Why do I want to win the lottery? Why do I want to have children? These are some of the questions we need to be asking ourselves, continually asking ourselves, why am I bringing this before God? Is my heart right before Him, particularly with this prayer request? And I don't know about you, but if I'm to be honest, there have been definitely times in my life when I've prayed with the wrong motives, when I've done things for God with the wrong motives. And one example that particularly comes to mind was back in the day, again, when I was in the height of my basketball and loving basketball, loving life there. I used to have a connection with an organization, sporting organization called Athletes in Action. And I used to also play for there was a Salvation Army tournament that they held annually. And on this particular tournament, I thought I could get a team together based on Athletes in Action, representing Athletes in Action, and we can go share Christ in this environment and use it as a witness while we play our basketball. That's the point of the organization I was a part of. And so we did that. I got a team together. There was quite a few obstacles trying to get the team together. People pulling out left, right, and center. Finally got a team together, entered it in, got all the gear, the merchandise, Athletes in Action. We're representing Jesus. We're amongst it. I got to share my testimony. It was a great experience. But there's just so many obstacles along the way. I hurt my ankle. I was injured for some of the tournament. Again, we had players pulling in and out. Things just didn't seem to go to plan. No matter how much I brought this before God and prayed about it and asked for His blessing upon it, it just didn't seem to go as I thought. And looking back on it in hindsight a few years later, I realized that my motives were all wrong. Yes, I wanted to represent Jesus and share his testimony and that sort of thing. But my first and major priority was to win the tournament. That's all I really cared about at the end of the day. And I realized that in hindsight, I was like, wow, that was actually my number one priority. And so our motives can have a tremendous impact in our relationship with God and him being willing to answer our prayers as we would have hoped or thought. Proverbs 16:2 says, people may be pure in their eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Sometimes we think about the situation we're in and think, well, my motives are pure. You know, I've got the right motives, the right heart before God in this. But we need to continually ask ourselves, do I really have the right motives? Only God at the end of the day knows the motives of our heart. Again, people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord is the one who examines their motives. So why didn't God answer my prayer? Well, maybe there's a broken relationship in your life. Maybe your motives are all out of whack, all out of alignment. The third thing is maybe you just don't believe God can actually do it. Maybe you lack a little bit of faith. Again, faith is so important when it comes to prayer, amen? We need to be coming before God believing that he can do the miraculous, believing that he can do what we're asking him to do. The Gospels are littered with examples of times where Jesus would go to towns and people wouldn't actually be healed, or the miraculous wouldn't happen as opposed to other occasions. And the reason why Jesus says is because they lacked faith. They didn't believe. Whereas those who were healed, those who experienced the miraculous in their lives, Jesus says, or often say, it was done unto them according to their faith. Hebrews says it's impossible to please God without faith. Jesus spoke about even the faith of a little mustard seed, a little bit of faith can move mountains in his name. Our faith matters. But the challenge is there's a lot of people who say they follow Jesus but come to their prayer lives as basically a tick-the-box kind of thing. I know I need to pray. I know it's an important part of my life, but I'll just come and tick the box. I've done that. I've spoken to God and go on with our lives. But the reality is when we come to him, we need to come before him knowing that and believing that he can do the miraculous, amen? Knowing and believing that he is able to answer our prayers. James 1, 6 and 7 says, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person who is divided, or a person with divided loyalty, is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. But what we must realize is that just because we have faith that God can answer our prayers, it doesn't mean he's always going to answer them with a yes, to Juan's point and to Alan's point as well. It's not always going to be yes. Just because we pray for a girl to maybe like you or pray that we win the lottery doesn't mean that God's going to answer those prayers because he's not a genie. He doesn't operate like that. So again, my final point tonight, why doesn't God seemingly answer my prayers? First of all, maybe there's a broken relationship. Maybe our motives are wrong. Maybe we just lack faith. And fourthly, maybe God has something else in store for you and I. Maybe God has something else in store for you and I. And the story that comes to mind when I think about this early on and something that I learned really early in terms of what Juan was saying, God answers your prayers with yes, wait, or no, was a time when I really liked this girl. I think I was about 21, 22, maybe 20, 21. And we were dating for a little bit, hanging out, and I really got along with her. I really liked her. She liked me. And so I thought, well, let's bring this before God. So we did that, and in that moment, I felt wait. God say, wait to me. It's not time yet. And so I did wait, and then she prayed about it, and then we came together and discussed it, and she was like an emphatic, no, I don't think this is right. I don't think we should date. And I really wrestled with that because we liked each other. She was a Christian, and I thought this was something that God had ordained, but I thankfully had the wisdom to bring it before him, and same with her, and I just felt wait. She felt no, and so I really had to sit in this tension of why doesn't this, it just seems to be working out. But the reality is God's will matters more than our will, amen? And that was the reality because it evidently wasn't his will for us to get together. You know, we sat in it, we brought it before God. Evidently, it wasn't His will, but it's His will that really matters, not ours. Even though we think we know what's best, even though in our mind we think we know the right thing, at the end of the day, it's God's will that truly matters. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says this. This is the confidence we have. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. And I love this because this is how we ought to come before Christ, amen, with confidence. And this is what prayer does, is we go deeper in our prayer lives. As we go deeper with Him, over time we start to align our thoughts with His thoughts, our ways with His ways, so that when we do come before Him in prayer, we are starting to automatically know what gets God going, what ultimately His will might be. And as I think about this, there's two prayers in particular as we finish up in just a moment that come to mind that God answered so quickly. The first one of those was a prayer I prayed when I was 16 years of age, which I've shared before, and I prayed that God would ultimately, I was really going through a tough time and wrestling with stuff as a family. I felt like I needed someone in my life just to debrief with and to discuss life with. And so I prayed that God would put a mentor in my life or someone I could just, you know, come alongside me. And within 2 weeks, Rick, who I've mentioned today, who married us, he called me out of the blue and said, Dan, God just laid it on my heart to catch up with you and just to walk alongside you in life. I was blown away. I was 16 years of age. Such an important step in my discipleship that I prayed that prayer, and it was clear that it was part of God's will for my life. He desired that for me. He's like, yes, 100%. I'm going to bless that. I'm going to answer that. Within 2 weeks, God answered that prayer. It was incredible. The quickest answer to the prayer I've ever had in my life was I was early on in ministry, and I really just felt like I needed more equipping. I didn't think the position I was in was really going to equip me for what I believed God had planned for me. So about 7, 8 a.m. in the morning, I was spending time with God, and I just prayed that God would equip me. 2 p.m. that afternoon, my pastor at the time, my boss, brought me in and said, Dan, our youth pastor's moving on. I want you to start moving to the youth young adult space and head up our night services, yada, yada, yada. So I prayed that prayer at the beginning of the morning. By the afternoon, God had answered my prayer again, showing me and revealing to me that this is part of God's will for my life. I prayed accordingly. He blessed that. He honored that. So there are two quick examples of where I've prayed, I believe, according to God's will, and He's answered almost automatically. But the flip side is also true, amen? If we pray believing that this something's God's will, but He answers with a wait or a no, we need to believe by faith that He loves us enough not to give us something that is not according to His will. Amen? We need to trust that He loves us enough not to give us something that is not according to His will. And I go back to that example where when I liked that girl in my life. It was only 2 years later that I met Kel for the first time and we started dating. He knows what we need, and He knows what the way our life will take even before we do. He is in control. He knows what is best for us at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, as we wrap things up, God's desire for us is to come before Him in prayer, amen? His desire for us is to grow in intimacy with Him, to go deeper with Him. And prayer is a way in which that we do that. That's communication with God, as Lydia was saying. It's so important as followers of Jesus that we immerse ourselves in prayer and come before God on a regular basis, both individually but also corporately as a church. And you know what? In my experience, God sometimes does take a while to answer our prayers, but He's never late. Amen. Sometimes He does take a while to answer, but He's never, ever late. And at the end of the day, from my experience, once again, as Juan said and others, why didn't God answer my prayers? Probably the wrong question to be asking. Because again, from my experience, He does always answer our prayer. He doesn't ignore us. He hears our prayers, but He will either answer with a yes, a no, or a wait. That's been my experience. So again, as we sit in that tension, which is hard sometimes, of, you know, God, what are you doing here? Why have you answered my prayer? Or are you going to come through for me? We need to sit in that tension, and as hard as it is, and ask the questions of God. Maybe there's something he wants to teach me. What is it that you want to teach me, Lord? First and foremost, is it reconciliation? Is there a broken relationship in my life that I need to seek out, that I need to restore or to love someone for? Doesn't mean we always have to like someone or who does wrong against us, but the call is always to love them. So is there a broken relationship in my life, Lord, that you want me to mend and to focus on? Or do you want me to have a more God-centered life? Again, checking our motives and the reasons why we ask God for things or do certain things. Is he wanting to teach us more about faith and trusting him as we sit in that tension? Maybe we lack faith. And finally, maybe he just wants us to understand what his will is and how good he is as a father to answer our prayers according to his will. At the end of the day, with all this said and done, I want to encourage us not to be discouraged when God seemingly hasn't answered our prayers or doesn't answer them as we would have thought. And I want to encourage us instead to adopt the following mandate in our lives. I believe God can. I believe God will. But even if he doesn't, I still believe. Amen. Raph's going to come up now and just lead us and just play. And I think the only fitting way to finish our time together this evening is to pray. So Raph's just going to lead us in a time as we meditate, as we pray. And I just want to encourage you in just the silence of this moment as Raphael plays, just to spend time yourself with God and maybe hand over to him some of those unanswered prayers that you've experienced in your life. Or maybe some of those things that you're wrestling with, some of those things that you just maybe angry at God at because it didn't happen the way you thought or it didn't come about the way you thought. I encourage us to bring those before God in this moment, but also just to reflect on the areas that we've been speaking about. Again, is there someone in your life you need to reconcile with? Check your motives for the things you pray for. Do you trust and believe that God can actually do what he said he is? And finally, seek to understand more of his will, his goodness in his life. So just to spend a moment to reflect on that, and then I'll open in prayer. And then if you feel like praying for us and just leading us in a time of prayer as we finish, please do, and then we'll wrap things up. So just spend that time with God in the quiet of this moment, and then I'll pray, and then I encourage us to pray together, and then I'll close when the time's right.